Sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the third full day of medal action at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Taking a look at some of Sunday's highlights, American star swimmers Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky made a splash in the pool. Phelps, the most decorated Olympian in history, picked up his 19th gold medal in the men's 4x100-meter freestyle relay. Caleb Dressel, Ryan Held, and Nathan Adrian also won gold for the American team, which clocked 3 minutes and 9.92 seconds. Katie Ledecky, meanwhile, beat the Olympic field by nearly 5 seconds in breaking her own world record in the women's 400-meter freestyle, clocking 3 minutes and 56.46 seconds. It was Ledecky's second Olympic gold medal. She won her first in the 800-meter freestyle at the 2012 London Olympics. Katie's expected to win a few more gold before these Rio Games officially end on August 21st. So get used to being up there on the medals podium, Katie.
It's an amazing feeling to sing your national anthem and see the flags raised. I got to go up there with a teammate and we sang our hearts out.
Meanwhile, British swimmer Adam Peaty also broke his own world record in the men's 100 meters breaststroke event, clocking 57.13 seconds. 6 world records have now been broken in 2 days of Olympic swimming competition. Peaty set an earlier world record in the same event in the preliminary heats.
So surreal, it's incredible. I can't actually believe it's happened. I'm going to have to slap myself, I think, a few times. But yeah, I mean, all the hard work's actually paid off now.
The hard work also paid off for Olympic judo athlete Majlinda Kelmendi. She made history in the women's 52-kilogram division, winning the gold to become the first athlete from Kosovo to win an Olympic medal.
That means a lot. People in, especially kids in Kosovo, look me as a hero. I just proved them that even after the war, even that we have survived a war, if they want something, they can have it. If they want to be Olympic champions, they can be. Even that we come from small country, poor country, but we are strong.
The Rio Games mark the first Olympics at which athletes are competing under the flag of Kosovo, which proclaimed independence from Serbia in 2008. Joining us now from Rio is triple jumper Thea LaFond, who is making her Olympic debut for the island nation of Dominica. Thea, welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thank you for having me. It's always a joy to be with you on Sunny.
Thea, take us back a few days. What was it like to participate in your first Parade of Nations at an Olympic Games opening ceremony?
You know, I think the one thing that came to my mind during the entire thing was just unity. It was amazing how we were all in different colors and holding different flags, but even in the moments before we were paraded out, there was just always like a laugh. There was a light air about being able to be together, and everyone was just talking. Maybe you would find that you could speak a little French and hang out with France a little bit, or you'd see Djibouti dancing and you'd join in just for the fun of it. And it was truly amazing. And I think one of the things I really appreciated it was that this was a memory of a lifetime. And so while I was recording it, I had my own like selfie stick like many other people did. There was a moment where I put my electronics away and just lived in the moment, because I kind of think that so many times we're so often ready to record that we forget that, you know, to take it in while you're there. But it was truly, truly amazing.
In terms of the dress you were wearing, Thea, I understand it really had some deep family meaning.
Yes, it did. My dress is formally called a wolf duet. It is our cultural wear, one of many versions for the island of Dominica and as for much of the Caribbean. And this dress is actually my mother's dress, because I believe I've worn it before. And I don't know, it always has a special place in my heart for me, especially since my mom has been one of my greatest motivators and the constant prayer in my life. And it was her, I think after myself, it was her biggest ring to see me here and to be able to wear that dress and kind of honor her in that way. I know that she's watching from home. She'll be actually reaching this week. It was just amazing.
Thea, you've been in Rio a few days now. What's the atmosphere like in the Olympic Village?
You know, I find it is actually quite peaceful, and I actually appreciate that, because if it was as high, strong, and tension-filled as, you know, practice or every competition, I think we'd all be very drained. But everyone seems to be very friendly here. You look over to your right, you know, there's Serena Williams. You look over to your left, there's Novak. And you're just kind of surrounded by these greats, and it's just such ease, such poise with it all. And everyone is very, very welcoming. The greatest thing going on right now is the exchange of pins, where every country has given a pin from the delegation. And it's a great way to kind of strike up conversations with people from different countries, and you kind of get a little memorabilia from everyone's nation, which is very cool.
Thea, I've heard some athletes say they're in awe of the athletes that are surrounding them. I think a British swimmer said that about Michael Phelps. Are you in awe mm-hmm. of some of these athletes around you?
I definitely think so. I mean, I walked up to the Fab Five for USA and just didn't even take a picture. I just said, you know, good luck, and what you're doing is amazing. Like, thank you for being an inspiration to young girls. And I ran into Venus and Serena and just had a brief chat with them about, you know, their journey here. And I think it's a shock. I mean, you grow up watching these people on TV. You grew up idolizing them. And now to be in the same, you know, major event of the world with them, it's shocking, it's humbling, but it's also inspiring. It's the best motivation to keep going.
Keep going, Thea. That's women's triple jumper Thea LaFond, who is making her Olympic debut at the Rio Games. And Thea spoke with us from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And we'll hear more from Thea later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Thea mentioned how she ran into American tennis stars Venus Williams and Serena Williams at the Olympic Village in Rio. Well, the Williams sisters were shocked Sunday in their opening doubles match, losing to the Czech Republic's Lucy Safarova and Barbara Strykova in straight sets, 6-3 and 6-4. It marked the first time the Williams sisters have lost an Olympic doubles match. Before Sunday, they had a 15-0 career record in the Olympics, winning the gold medal in women's doubles every time they entered the event in 2000, 2008, and 2012. Earlier Sunday, top-seeded Serena opened defense of her Olympic singles gold medal with a 6-4, 6-2 victory over Australia's Daria Gavrilova. On the men's side, world number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia cried on the court after losing to Argentina's Juan Martín Del Potro 7-6 and 7-6. Djokovic described it as one of the toughest losses in his life. And while Djokovic's tennis trophy cabinet is overflowing, he has 12 career Grand Slam singles titles. Novak's best Olympic performance is a bronze medal in singles at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. As the Olympics get into full swing, fans are coming out, and fears that Rio would not be ready to host the Games are beginning to fade. VOA's Jeff Swicord reports on some of the sights and sounds from the newly constructed Olympic Park in Baja.
A sunny day in Rio brings out the crowds to the Olympic Park in Baja. There have been complaints of long lines at security checkpoints for the opening ceremony at the Maracana Stadium, but those problems are fading as the games kick into high gear. The Olympic spirit is catching on, and everyone appears to be having a good time. Jeff Pedretti from Madison, Wisconsin, came to see tennis and women's gymnastics.
This is actually my second Olympics. I went to London 4 years ago and just had an amazing time and wanted to do it again and thought Rio would be a really fun place to have the Olympics.
The Olympic Park at Baja is the center point for the Games, with facilities to host 9 different sports. It is also a fun place for fans to meet people from around the world.
The Winter Games are in.
Tim Jamison from Roanoke, Virginia, is attending his 14th Olympic Games. He started trading Olympic pens at the 1992 Summer Games in Barcelona. He says it is now a hobby he holds close to his heart.
What I realized then, this was the communication device that allowed us to talk to other people from other countries without knowing the language, because everybody started to understand that pin trading was kind of the social part of the game.
Several different styles of pins are manufactured for each Olympics.
No language, but pin language.
Fun aside, it is the athletic event that draws the crowds from around the world. The Stepanovic family from Belgrade, Serbia, are here to see their son, Velmer, compete in swimming. He competed in the London Games, but this is the first time his fiancée, Jessica Oli from South Africa, has seen him compete in the Olympics.
It's pretty crazy, like, to see everything come to life. I mean, I've only ever seen it on the TV, so to actually, like, be in the stadium and the aquatic center is, like, it's special.
The crowds at the park will continue well into the evening when many premier events are held. So far, so good for an Olympics feared to be fraught with problems. Jeff Swicord, VOA News, Rio de Janeiro.
Thanks, Jeff. Meanwhile, a 19-year-old American from here in the Washington area won the very first gold medal awarded at the 2016 Rio Olympics on Saturday. Our friend in Rio, Luis Piazzet, has that story as well as other Olympic news. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sport Olympic greetings, Sonny. The games are on the way pretty Olympic per se. And number one, the first gold medal goes to the USA. The American air rifle shooter Jeannie Thrasher won the first gold medal in the Olympic Games, while host country Brazil won its first medal, a silver. Interesting mark. From then on, it has been an alternation of places. Australia leading the board of golds during the entire Sunday, China coming second, then down to fourth, until the USA from sixth place went all the way back to the top with 12 medals, 3 gold, 5 silver, and 4 bronze. Ahead of the second place, China with 8 medals. Brazil, aiming to be among the top 10, is lead from 14 to 20, and, surprisingly, Germany did not win any medals so far. Outside the competition arenas, after the spectacular opening ceremony, a party serial broke out in Rio, and the typical Brazilian way of partying went back in the competition venues. Many foreigners, athletes complaining about so much noise coming from the audience of fencing, table tennis, and swimming competitions, sports that demand certain degree of concentration. Mr. Michael Phelps said he never heard so much noise. In a good sense, though, amazed with the Brazilian cheerers. Today, we'll be watching the sailing competition taking place on the beautiful Guanabara Bay. And I asked to the Japanese and German sailors how was the water on this weekend when they were training. They replied with a wave. So-so. The German top laser sailor Philip Bo said he's putting concerns of Rio's water contamination.
Ja, also es ist so, dass das Wasser mit Sicherheit deutlich schlechter ist als überall sonst.
The water is a lot worse than everywhere else where we sail. I don't think I need to beat about the bush here. However, for me personally, the results have been quite positive. I've been here 5 times and have gone home healthy from Rio 5 times. Every time I got a lot of water in my face and elsewhere. It's not very nice when it happens, but I still managed to stay healthy. My biggest hope and wish is that every sailor, not only the Germans, but all of them, are the same during the competition, so that we're all able to sail and no one is forced to pull out because of health reasons, because we know how long and how much everyone has been training, and I think that that would be the worst-case scenario for us.
The sailing Olympic competitors will endure 2 weeks underwater. Windsurf, laser, fin, 470, and 49ers. So called due to its hull length, 4.7 and 4.9 meters, They are double-handed small vessels. In NACRA class, the new Olympic 17-foot alternative class, two hulls and also double-handed. Starting this Monday afternoon, windsurfer men's and women's and laser, also male and female sailors, will compete with the entire mirror of water under the sugar loaf dedicated to them. The local airport Saint-Domingue will be closed for commercial flights. The ferry will be restricted and slowed down, while two helicopters of the IOC capturing images will make the soundtrack of the sailing competition above the boats only an equivalent of an 11-story building. The Brazilian sailor Robert Schade, who holds the highest number of Olympic medals, promised to win one more gold at home this afternoon in the laser class. I'm Luis Piazzi for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Thanks, Luis. Luis mentioned American Ginny Thrasher winning the first gold medal at Rio 2016 in the women's 10-meter air rifle event. Ginny says she originally wanted to be a figure skater, but by her freshman year in high school, she realized she had no future in it. She switched to the air rifle after going on a hunting trip with her grandfather, and she's now an Olympic champion. Meanwhile, the 1996 Olympic champion in men's football, Nigeria, is through to the quarterfinals at Rio 2016. The Nigerian boys beat Sweden Sunday 1-0 in Manaus, Brazil, on a goal by Roma striker Umar Sadiq. Nigeria beat Japan in its opening match in Manaus 5-4 and now has the maximum 6 points from two matches. In Sunday's other results, host Brazil and Iraq played a goalless draw. Denmark edged South Africa 1-0. Japan and Colombia played to a 2-2 draw. Defending Olympic champion Mexico trounced Fiji 5-1. Germany and South Korea played to a 3-3 draw. Portugal beat Honduras 2-1. And Argentina eliminated Algeria with a 2-1 victory. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty Olympic greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny.
Andrew, what's trending in Rio?
Well, there's almost too much to talk about. As we were talking about this morning, you know, you have these moments that kind of pop up on social media, and then they, you know, for a few hours or a couple days even are the big moments, and then something else happens, and that takes the spotlight. So we're going to see a lot of this over the next 2 weeks and change. We're going to see a lot of these moments pop up. So we'll start with Ginny Thrasher over the weekend, as you mentioned, the first person to win gold at the Olympics this year. A great accomplishment, and she got a lot of praise on social media, but there were a lot of jokes at her expense.
Uh-oh.
Because it was in the rifle shooting event, and she is an American. So there were a lot of people saying, of course, America wins the gold, and it's in a gun event. Of course, and guns are a hot-button issue here in the United States.
Yes, so indeed. They sure are.
That was a lot of jokes about that and saying, well, it's no surprise that the U.S. wins a gun event. But actually, there was another event with the air pistol, excuse me, where Vietnam actually won its first Olympic medal ever. So there's a lot of those moments that pop up where you see these athletes winning the first medal, and Kosovo as well. They won their first medal, a gold medal. That's nice to have your first medal for your country be a gold medal. So you see these great moments that kind of appear on social media, sometimes with some jokes associated, but oftentimes it's just that celebration and people really feeling connected and involved with these athletes, even though they're not in Rio and they're thousands of miles away and they may not even be from the countries that the athletes are winning these medals from. It's just these human stories that you get connected to.
And in terms of that connection, Andrew, earlier in the show, I had a chance to chat with Thea LaFond, who's in the Olympic Village, and I know she's been posting photos on Instagram and doing regular updates on Facebook. And so you're getting a real feel for how they're experiencing the Olympics.
Yeah, and this is something, you know, to bring in another Olympian, Brianna Scurry. When I spoke with her, she said that having social media is such a great thing now versus 20 years ago when she was in the Olympics, because you see what the athletes are doing, you're connected to them. I saw that two of the American women's tennis players, Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens, actually have a joint Snapchat account. So they're going around and they're taking pictures and they're hanging out. But between the two of them, they're managing this one account, so you can get a sense of what it's like for them to prepare for the competition, and also the downtime where they're just sitting in the food hall eating, or they're in the kind of recovery area and they're stretching out, all those kind of things that you get to experience that you wouldn't otherwise.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. The Paralympics will take place in September after the Olympics in Rio, and the Paralympics will also be staged in Rio. And yet they're already trending, aren't they, Andrew?
They are, because the Russian Paralympic team has been banned. The entire team has been banned from competing in Rio. The International Paralympic Committee has issued a blanket ban. Now, this is getting a lot of attention on social media. First, because it's anytime an entire country gets banned from the Olympics, that's going to make news. But second, because we've been talking about the kind of semi-ban on Russia, they kind of picked and chose which athletes were going to be banned based on different doping test results. People saying, well, why is it that the Paralympics from Russia, they're all banned versus the Russian Olympic athletes are not? It's kind of pick and choose. So there's a discrepancy there that a lot of people are pointing out. So one tweet where somebody said, read between the lines here. There's something fishy going on with the Russian committee with the Olympic athletes. So it's kind of putting a cloud of suspicion over the Russian Olympians competing these next 2 weeks in Rio.
It's almost as if the Russian disabled athletes have been, you know, penalized for possibly doping violations by their healthy brothers and sisters, so to speak.
Well, that's the other side of the coin, is that a lot of people are saying, well, look at the Russian Olympians competing this week. Other people are saying, well, why should the Paralympians be punished when the Russians are allowed to compete? There should be one standard set of rules or something that they should use for these athletes.
Andrew, what else is trending in Rio?
Well, we had a lot of these successful moments, and we saw these, you know, gold medal winning moments, but we had two very scary moments that were trending over the weekend. The first was Samir Ayat Said. He's a French gymnast, and he actually broke his leg while attempting a vault. This video, which I haven't watched, I heard it. I saw someone else watching it, and I kind of turned my head away, but you can actually hear his leg break, which is horrible. But this video is circulating around social media, unfortunately, he's not able to compete with the broken leg. However, he did go to Twitter and immediately afterwards say, don't worry, I'll be back for Tokyo 2020. So already he's saying, even though this is a setback, this Olympics, I'll be there 4 years later. And that could be one of the great success stories in 4 years if he does come back. And even if he doesn't medal, just to come back from a horrific injury like that and potentially scarring injury mentally, to come back and compete would be a great achievement. So look for his story in the next 4 years.
And to respond on Twitter that he's will be coming back, that really has broad reach, doesn't it, Andrew, at the Olympics? Such a spectacle of international sport.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those, you know, like I said, feel-good stories. Even outside of the people winning the medals, you have these feel-good stories when athletes overcome adversity. Another one was Annemiek van Vleuten. She was a cyclist, and she was leading the women's cycling race and took a scary crash where she actually hit her head and tumbled end over end. Ended up in the hospital with a concussion and some broken vertebrae, but she actually tweeted out as well and said, thank you all for the support. I'm recovering, and thank goodness for her and Samir Ait Said. Both are expected to recover. But showing how valuable social media is to connect people to these athletes, that they were able to release these statements on social media and as an information tool as well. For Annemiek van Vleuten, there was some question about what her status was. Was she in intensive care? Was she stable? And she was able to, either through her team or somebody, get that message out on social media. So we got an update on her condition. But some athletes overcoming adversity, and while they won't be continuing in Rio, I think that they've earned a lot of fans throughout the world.
Yes, indeed. They have earned some fans, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll hear from you again on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the August 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaites. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Nigeria, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, has launched two new partnerships with local agribusinesses, Babangona and Hello Tractor. These two new projects highlight the U.S. government's commitment to agriculture-led economic growth and private sector engagement as part of Feed the Future, the U.S. government's Global Hunger and Food Security Initiative. This $2 million two-year partnership will allow 45,000 smallholder farmers across seven states and the Federal Capital Territory easier access to smart tractors that better meet their needs, improved seeds, and profitable food and agriculture markets. During the ceremony at the U.S. Embassy in Abuja in late July, which was attended by Nigerian Minister of Agriculture, Audu Ogbe, U.S. Deputy Chief of Mission Maria Brewer described the partnership as a co-investment in public goods. Innovation and entrepreneurship hold the key to unlocking Nigeria's agricultural potential, and the U.S. government will continue to provide support in this direction, said Ms. Brewer. Under the Feed the Future initiative, the U.S. government collaborates with a wide range of partners, from civil society groups to host country governments to the private sector, to support smallholder farmers in Nigeria and other countries across Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Through these partnerships, Feed the Future addresses development and business challenges by increasing access to improved agricultural inputs and mechanization, better quality technical advisory services, and expanding market opportunities for smallholder farmers. These partnerships capitalize on the untapped potential of youth in agriculture and help build the capacity of young entrepreneurs to help grow their businesses, create secure jobs, and boost economic growth. Through the partnership with USAID, Babangona will help 20,000 smallholder farmers, and Feed the Future's partnership with Hello Tractor will enable 24,500 smallholder farmers to gain access to tractor services, as well as train 100 youth entrepreneurs on owning and maintaining a fleet of smart tractors. In its partnership with Nigeria, the United States helps stabilize Nigerian society with improved social services, supports transparent and accountable governance as a responsible regional and trade partner.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Let's talk. Absentee parents, a serious issue that affects the lives of the children and parents alike all over the world. What are the reasons and consequences? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing absentee parents. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Sali and his guests discuss Zambia's general election set for August 11th. The office of the president and seats in the National Assembly are being contested. A constitutional referendum will be held with proposals to amend the nation's Bill of Rights. That's next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.